Good morning. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll do two verses, 15 to 17. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us this life, and through its many challenges, Lord, you give us ways to live it. And Lord, we know that the path that you have leads to life, and God, I pray that that we would choose not to walk on the path that leads to destruction, but Lord, we just ask for your grace to cover us in this walk. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here yesterday, we talked about how our beliefs determines our decisions. And our decisions determine our circumstances. And so we all know that our decisions will determine the direction of our lives. And we are a sum of the decisions that we have made in our life. And we are in this place right now, literally and figuratively, because of the decisions that we have made. We've decided to wake up in the morning. We've decided to come to EMP. Where we are right now, like I said, both literally and figuratively, overall in the stage of your life, is based on the decisions, the cumulative decisions that we've made in our lives. If you look at the jobs that you've taken and been on, and those decisions, that's how you ended up here, whether it be in Hong Kong or just in the life stage that you're at. Some decisions are black and white. The decisions between right and wrong, you want to make always the right choice. But there are areas in life that are gray. And then what kind of decisions do you make? For example, do I stay home or do I go to this birthday party? That's not a black and white question. It's a gray. There's not a right or wrong answer to that. But it's still a decision that has to be made. Should I say yes to him, or should I, go out with him, or should I not? Once again, not a moral question or ethical issue. It's a gray area, but you still have to make a decision. Maybe for some of us, do I order French fries with my salad, or do I not? It's just not a right or wrong question, but something you have to decide. And with the questions and the decisions that you deal with every day, many which seem innocent can have lasting repercussions. So what are the answers to those questions? Well, how do we answer those questions? I look back at my life and, I think we all have done dumb stuff that we wish we could take back, people that we wish that we never hung out with, or friends that we didn't make, or words that we hadn't said to somebody, things that we shouldn't have seen, or places we shouldn't have gone to. Maybe you look back and wonder, how could I be so foolish and ignorant or dumb? I should have known better. In many cases, I think we did know better, but I think for some reason we thought we could beat the odds. And nobody plans on messing up their life, or no one plans on screwing things up. But as we navigate through life, and as we navigate through the decisions, and we make hundreds and thousands of decisions every day, we've got to ask this ultimate question. And Andy Stanley talks about this a lot, about asking this ultimate question. And we'll get to what that question is that we ultimately need to ask. But I think the truth is that, unfortunately, we are really good at deceiving ourselves. We have blind spots, and we don't see them. And so we can make a poor choice of how we use up our time and make it sound like that it's a much needed outlet. You know, we can justify, you know, all the hours that we watch TV or surf the internet, and we can justify and say, well, I need an outlet, you know, for the stresses of my day. Of course. You can make poor relational decisions and make it sound like ministry opportunities, and, you know, well, you know, this person's not a believer, and, you know, we just got close, and I mean, we can justify things. We've missed countless workouts with the excuse, well, you know, my body needs rest. So, you know, that's been my excuse for 5 years. I haven't worked out, and my body needs rest. So, I mean, it's easy to deceive ourselves, you know, and I've, even yesterday, you know, I rationalized that I could eat a tub of ice cream with the phrase that, well, you know, you got to live a little. Everyone needs to live a little, you know, as if ice cream adds to the quality of your life. But, you know, that's just the deception that we have at times. And, you know, we all have wasted massive amounts of time doing all sorts of things and that seemed important but actually doesn't have any value to our life. If you were to ask those who have addictions, it begins once again with a similar self-deception. You know, it begins with, well, I'm not hurting anybody by being addicted to whatever it may be. Or we deceive ourselves saying, I'm only going to do it just this one time. I'm just going to just do it this one time just to see what it's like. I'm just going to do it once. Or, you know, I've been a good boy for a month. I haven't done it in a month. Or I haven't done it for a long time. Or we rationalize or deceive ourselves saying, you know, I know what I'm doing. I can handle it. Or I can quit whenever I want to quit. I mean, we rationalize these things, we deceive ourselves, and the strange thing is that most of the time we're fully aware of the game that we're playing, because in our minds we're playing this conversation in our heads that, I'm just going to do it once. I can handle it. I'm going to quit whenever I want to. And so I want you to think about your mental conversations. Think about this. You don't have to go through this series of like mental gymnastics to convince yourself of that it's a good idea to eat vegetables, right? You don't have to sort of suffer in your mind like, oh my goodness, like, should I eat these vegetables? Oh, you know, I don't know if I should or not. I mean, you don't have to do this mental exercise of doing something that is right and good. Yeah, you don't have to rationalize why you ought to study for a test, or why you ought to exercise, or why you ought to avoid bad company. We just know. We don't have to rationalize that it's good or bad or whatever. We just know. You don't sit around looking for reasons for doing a good thing. But it's the bad decisions that require creative reasoning, if you're following what I'm saying. Like, bad decisions require creative reasoning. So Andy Stanley talks about like how you need to ask yourself this ultimate question. If we look back at the text, Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And so the question to ask isn't, is this right or wrong? The question to ask is, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And so maybe we're asking the wrong question, because many times we're asking ourselves, is it okay, God, to do this? Is it okay? Sometimes I think the question in our mind goes like this. How close can we get to the line between right and wrong without actually doing wrong? It's human nature. It's natural. How close can we get to that line of right and wrong without crossing the line and doing something wrong? In other words, how close can we get to sinning without sinning? How far can we go to the line before we experience consequences? Obviously, if you work with teenagers, it's really common. So how far can you go physically without sinning? How far can you go without it being qualified as sex? Or how far can you, how fast can you drive before, you know, it's you're going to get pulled over? Or how many drinks can I have before, without getting drunk? You know, and so the naturally, human nature, our flesh, we try to push that line, and we ask ourselves, and we ask God, how far can we go? And it starts with a simple and very logical question, like, first of all, is there anything wrong with it? You know, I think a lot of times when people are trying to defend themselves of an action, one of the first things that comes out is, well, what's wrong with it? What's the problem? What's wrong with it? And then, you know, that kind of turns into a water slide. And once it starts, and then you end up with a different question as you get more involved in whatever it may be, and now you find yourself making these decisions, and you're in this place, wherever that is, and now it goes to from what's wrong with this decision to how did I get myself here? Like, how did I get myself in this place? And so I think the question that we need to change in our minds is not, well, is there anything wrong with this decision? But instead, what is the wise thing to do? Solomon makes it very clear that in his infinite wisdom, that we ought to live our lives in a wise manner. You know, what is the wise thing to do? Think of maybe one of the biggest regrets that you have. And as you look back and as you reflect, can you see yourself avoiding some of what you've regretted if you had made this ultimate question primary in your mind as you're going through this process? You know, maybe you're struggling in relationships or work or, projects. And as you look back, maybe you can go back with this question in mind as Ephesians talks about. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise choice to make? There's sometimes where, for example, in a job situation that maybe you should quit your job. Sometimes the wise thing to do is to wait. Though you might feel like as you've done the checklist, oh yeah, I should quit. I should. That's the right thing to do, and that's the best thing to do. But maybe the wisest thing to do is maybe to stay on a little bit longer. But the opposite may also be true, that, you know, maybe you love your job and the right thing to do, you know, you want to stay, but maybe the wise thing to do is to quit, you know. So it could go both ways. Instead of asking, what is the right thing to do or what is the wrong thing to do, I think the Bible gives us sort of a paradigm of course, we need to do what the right and moral thing is in God's eyes. But as we live through these gray areas of life, we can ask a different question. Instead of how far can we go and how far can we push before it gets into a sin area, but instead asking this ultimate question, what is the wise thing to do? And so this morning as we reflect, as we get ready to worship, maybe we can reflect and examine sort of the gray areas of our life, and ask that question over and over again, as Solomon has asked that question about his life as he reflects, and that's what the lesson learned in Solomon's life. What is the wise thing to do right now? Maybe you're struggling with circumstances or situation, and you're not sure what to do. Should you go left? Should you go right? Well, what's the wise thing to do? Sometimes the wise thing to do goes against your own intuition. But if you ask the Holy Spirit will guide you. Yeah. Once again, these are in areas, in gray areas, not whether it's right or wrong or immoral or unethical. Those things you need to do what is right and what is moral and what is ethical, but in these gray areas of what should I do, ask yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is the wise thing to do. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Our time on earth is short. Make the most of it. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I pray that we may be encouraged to continue to live through our difficulties as we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is the wise thing to do? So let's bow our heads and let's pray and let's meditate on that. Father, there are so many different gray areas in life. And many of us, we ask for wisdom. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us do what is wise. For we know that our time is short and the days are evil. God, help us in our walk. And this day, we do ask for wisdom. Give us wisdom and help us to walk as wise people, not as unwise people. We ask of this in Jesus' name.
temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you.
Before we go into prayer, if I may say, I just we've all made bad decisions, and I think it's important for us to separate the fact that the decisions from ourselves, in the sense that when we've made bad decisions, we ought not to internalize it and say that because of these bad decisions, I'm a failure, or I've failed. But the truth of the matter is, you've just made a bad decision, and you're not a failure. And I think that's important, and I think that's true. I've made bad decisions. We're all in the same fraternity, sorority. But I think I just felt I want to encourage someone this morning. That we've all made bad decisions, and because we've suffered those consequences, the truth of how God sees you is that you're not a failure because you've made bad decisions. You've just made bad decisions, and we've got to separate those decisions from your self-esteem and who you are and your worth. And so as we reflect on the decisions that you've made, you can now move forward and walk as someone who's walking in wisdom based on those experiences, because God doesn't see you as someone who's failed or someone who is bad or someone who sucks. It's just you've made bad decisions, and we all have. So I want to exhort you and encourage you that to look back on those decisions and not look at yourself in the sense of internalizing that you're now something that you're not, but that you can go forward and now you can ask, Lord, I want to walk with you. Holy Spirit, you're there to guide me, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy that covers me, and now I can walk in wisdom. Lord, what is the wise thing to do? So Lord, I just pray over us who experience condemnation because of some of the decisions that we have made. And Lord, we just pray that there would be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that we would know that our identity comes from being your daughters, your sons. Lord, we just ask right now that you would just begin to lift off the voice that tells us that we're not good enough because of our past decisions. But Lord, we thank you that you are a God of new life. And so Lord, we just want to be in you and abide in you right now. God, we thank you for this morning. May your word speak deep into our heart. May it be planted so and be so deeply rooted in us. We thank you, God. Let's begin to intercede for our family in Christ, for those who are going through cancer and just how difficult this process is. Let's ask the Lord to give them strength and grace and healing. Let's lift them up as we pray and intercede for them. Pray for those who are ill but still needs to know the Lord. So let's lift them up in prayer. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for those with other sicknesses and illnesses, and let's ask the Lord to heal them, and that God would receive glory through it. So let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for those who are looking for jobs and employment, and you can see that a few names have come off the board, so praise the Lord for that. Let's continue to pray and believe and intercede for those ask for grace upon their lives as they look for work. Ask the Lord to sustain them. So let's pray for them now. Pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government and the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up our local ministries that we support and pray for. And so let's just lift up Hong Kong right now. Thank you. pray for our missions committee and ask the Lord to bless the missions committee, that that we would hear from the Lord, and that that we would participate in what God is doing in Asia and globally. Let's ask the Lord to bless the members and their families. And so if you could lift up the missions committee. Let's pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for the Community Center, Agape, HOMI, SB Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Mother's Choice. Let's begin to lift them up and ask the Lord to cover them, sustain them, protect them. Let's pray for servants and volunteers to be involved and to serve, to make a huge impact in the name of Christ. And so let's lift up our local outreach teams. Let's pray for our Friday activities. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team that meets for SPU, for two house churches, McCain and DB House Church. Let's lift them up in prayer, that that God would be in the center of all things, and that He would just bless these activities going on. So let's pray. Now let's lift up the river that's happening today. So let's also pray for that. Lord, we thank You for this morning. God, we pray for Your grace to sustain us, Lord. Fill our bodies and our spirit with Your presence. And Lord, we just ask, God, for wisdom as we make tons of decisions today. God, help us in our interactions with our relationships at work and at home. Lord, help us to do the wise thing today, God. We thank You for this morning. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Blessings to you. Enjoy your time in prayer. And we'll see you tomorrow.